Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, this is the Spoken Edition of Wired.
Powered by the Salvation Army, there are just 6 giving days left in 2018, but it's not too late to join the fight for good. To give through Alexa, say, "Alexa, make a donation to the Salvation Army," or visit SalvationArmyUSA.org. 2018 was a rough year for Truth Online, by Paris Martineau. Earlier this month, I was on the phone with Ryan Fox, co-founder of New Knowledge, a cybersecurity firm that tracks Russian-related influence operations online. The so-called Yellow Vest protests had spread across France, and we were talking about the role disinformation played in the galvanizing French hashtag for the protests, Gilets Jaunes. Conversations like these are a regular part of my job, and usually focus on the quantifiable aspects of social media manipulation campaigns, volume of posts, follower count, common keywords, signs of inauthenticity, that sort of thing. But something else creeped into our discussion, an immeasurable notion so distracting and polarizing for most in the disinformation research community that I learned long ago to stop bringing it up. What is the impact of these misinformation campaigns? While I didn't ask this question of Fox, he addressed it as though I had. We get this question a lot. Did they cause this? Meaning the Gilets Jaunes protests. Did they make it worse? They're pouring fuel on the fire, yes. They're successful at exacerbating the narrative. But I don't know what the world would look like if they had not done it. Oft asked and rarely satisfactorily answered, the question of impact is the disinformation research community's white whale. You can measure reach. You can measure engagement. But there's no simple data point to tell you how one coordinated influence campaign affected an event or someone's outlook on a particular issue. There has never been a more exciting or high-stakes time to study or report on social media manipulation, yet therein lies the issue. It's difficult to balance the urge to report complicated and impressive analyses of large swaths of data from propaganda-pushing networks with the responsibility to hedge your findings behind the seemingly, nullifyingly admission that there is no way to truly understand the actual effect of these actions, especially when much of the discourse on the subject is plagued by inaccuracies and exaggerations, often caused by media efforts to simplify pages of nuanced research into something that fits in a headline. Coordinated influence campaigns are reduced to bots and trolls, despite the fact that those are rarely, if ever, accurate descriptions of what's actually going on. The internet has always been awash with misinformation and hate, but never has it felt so inescapable and overwhelming as it did this year. From Facebook's role in fanning the flames of ethnic cleansing in Myanmar, to the rise of QAnon, to the so-called migrant caravan, to the influence campaign conducted by the Kremlin's Internet Research Agency, 2018 was a rough year to be online, regardless of the strengths of your media literacy skills. It has become increasingly difficult to parse the real from the fake, and even harder to determine the effect of it all. On December 17, cybersecurity firm New Knowledge released a report on the IRA's campaign to sow division and influence American voters on Twitter, Facebook, and other platforms. It's one of the most thorough analyses of the IRA's misdeeds to take place outside of the companies themselves. At the behest of the Senate Intelligence Committee, New Knowledge reviewed more than 61,500 unique Facebook posts, 10.4 million tweets, 1,100 YouTube videos, and 116,000 Instagram posts, all published between 2015 and 2017. But even with that mountain of data, the researchers were unable to reach concrete conclusions about impact. It is impossible to gauge the full impact of the IRA's influence operations had without further information from the platforms, the authors wrote. New Knowledge said that Facebook, Twitter, and Google could provide an assessment of what users who were targeted by the IRA thought of the content they were exposed to. This is a significant claim, but the researchers say the platforms could study the activities of the victims of information warfare rather than the perpetrators and ask, what were users saying in the comments of voter suppression attempts on Instagram? What conversations were happening between IRA members and users in DMs? Where did users go on the platform? And what did they do after being exposed to IRA content? But the platforms failed to turn any of this information over. This is particularly problematic, the researchers said, because foreign manipulation of American elections on social platforms will continue to be an ongoing chronic problem. And by keeping people in the dark about the effectiveness of old tactics, which have almost certainly been improved upon in the years since, platforms leave users vulnerable to any future attempts. This is far from the first time that platforms' attempts at transparency have left researchers wanting. When Twitter released a trove of more than 9 million tweets posted by accounts associated with IRA and Iranian propaganda efforts back in October, many members of the research community found the data dump lacking most of the information necessary to speak to present and future threats, much less derive impact. Tweets, posts, and stories don't exist in a vacuum, and they can't be effectively analyzed in a vacuum. The researchers I've spoken with recently have been grappling with the ramifications of a dearth of data on impact for much of the past year. They have more tools to analyze the way we interact online than ever before, and more cooperation from the platforms themselves than they ever thought possible. Yet they still lack some of the most crucial bits of information. More often than not, the information provided by companies like Twitter and Facebook in their high-profile data dumps is nothing new to any platform researcher worth their salt. Third-party users and academics can collect most of the public-facing information, like retweets, likes, follower count, friends, and total views, but what they can't access are the internal metrics, the DMs, the fake likes purchased, the likelihood of engagement gaming, and so on. In the coming year, we, meaning not just journalists and researchers, but everyday social media users, have got to do better, or at least try to. We need to reckon with the fact that there are no easily available means to determine the efficacy of such actions online, and we must derive new ways of conveying their newsworthiness and consequence. If we can't parse the impact of all of this through traditional means, those who are waging these information wars likely can't either. What else are they gaining from it? So long as we continue to hide behind vague language and half measures, we lose out on the opportunity to demand the information and tools necessary to understand this nightmarish new world we live in. We shouldn't continue to be placated by simple announcements that a particular company has wiped its platform clean of some genre of bad actor, but rather demand a comprehensive analysis of the effects of the disinformation it spread. That means researchers need access to live pages and posts, and analytics beyond what they can get themselves from tinkering with the API. For users, the simplest, albeit most depressing, way to suss out false information in a world where even the most innocuous of accounts could be playing the long con to take advantage of your hard-earned trust is to assume that everything is probably false until proven true. This is the internet, after all.